This is the Schnauzer Logic Radio Company.
And this is Schnauzer Logic, the podcast, episode number 12, being recorded on Wednesday, April the 19th, 2006.
And on Friday, I stood up and said, I don't appreciate the speculation about Don Rumsfeld. He's doing a fine job. I strongly support him.
But what do you say to critics who believe that you're ignoring the advice of retired generals, military commanders, who say that there needs to be a change?
Profits, bloody oil money, I'm above the law and I'll decide it's right or wrong. I am the egghead, I'm the commander, I'm the decider, cuckoo ca-choo, Baghdad City, policemen sitting pretty little targets in a row. See how they die when shrapnel flies, see mothers cry. I'm lying. Classifying facts, exposing secret agent tax cuts while the wealthy leave and all the poor behind. I am the egghead, I'm the commander, I'm the decider, cuckoo ca-choo.
I'm the decider, and I decide what is best, and what's best is for Don Rumsfeld to remain as the Secretary of Defense.
Sitting in a White House garden, talking to the Lord. But my thoughts would be busy, busy hatching if I only had a brain. I am the egghead. I'm the commander. I'm the decider. Cuckoo, 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 cuckoo.
We got different reputations. It's the, that's how I listen to all voices. It's my final decision. And Don Rumsfeld is doing a fine job. He's not only transforming the military, he's fighting a war on terror. He's helping us fight a war on terror. So I hear the voices, and I read the front page, and I know the speculation, but I'm the decider, and I decide what is best, and what's best is for Don Rumsfeld to remain as the Secretary of Defense. But I'm the decider, and I decide what is best.
Mike and Steve are on a road trip when they get caught in a fierce snowstorm. The two pull out of a... Mike and Steve are on a road trip when they get caught... Bob and Bill are on a fierce... we're just going to go to the opening.
Clinton, liberals, dittos!
I'm Dr. Mora, and I'm my poodle's mother.
Today on All Things
You
got
to know when to hold him, and you got to know when to fold him.
Yeah, baby, show me your...
Dude, read it.
Mike and Steve are on a road trip where they get caught in a fierce snowstorm. The two pull into a farm and knock on the front door. Beautiful woman answers and they ask if they can spend the night. The woman is sympathetic but says, I'm recently widowed. If I let you stay in my house, the neighbors will talk. Then we can sleep in the barn, Mike says. And if the weather improves, we'll be gone by sunrise. The woman agrees and the men find their way to the barn. Early the next morning,
the second tower was just struck.
I'm not done reading to these seven-year-olds. Early the next morning, the weather has improved, so the men depart. 9 months later, Mike receives a letter from the woman's attorney. He visits Steve and asks, Steve, 9 months ago, did you sneak into the farm's widow's into that farm's widow's room in the middle of the night? Yes, I have to admit I did, said Steve. And did you use my name instead of your own? Mike continues. Yes, I'm sorry I did, Steve says, clearly embarrassed. Why do you ask? Well, she just died and left me everything, Mike exclaims. Yeah, that one did suck.
Son of Easton, my friends, Son of Easton, we welcome you. Have tuned in, latched on, and otherwise managed to download that stream of audio known around the world as Schnauzer Logic. Yes, this is Schnauzer Logic, the podcast, episode number 12, being recorded on Wednesday, the 19th of April, 2006. And my name is Robin Goldstein. I'm your host. I'm your buddy. I'm your pal. I'm also a straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman patent attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning. We have an outstanding show for you today. But before we get going, I've got to say, first of all, thank you.
You're welcome.
Son of Easta, my friend Parviz Vitali.
Son of Easta, Robin. Son of Easta, Sean. So happy to have you here.
Yo, Son of Easta. Son of Easta, folks.
You want to take a shot at the joke, too?
No.
It's horrible. You know.
It's killer. It's killer material.
Meaning
anybody who reads it dies.
Yeah, I had no rhythm in that. I didn't know where I was at.
This whole show, and I would only be adding to it, has just been the biggest endorsement for No Child Left Behind. This... Next week, ladies and gentlemen, we'll all be reading at a third grade level and things will be much better.
Sitting on the couch and reading it, it looked like it was pretty easy to get through. And I figured I can do a cold read. And while we're doing that little bit at the top of the show, which we just grabbed from, I don't know where that audio is from. It's from the Huffington
awesome.
Post, but it's a very clever parody. So,
and the speed.
How quickly it got up there.
Right. I mean, you know, he just... I guess people are just in creative mode because they understand that at any second there could be just a torrent of idiocy out of his mouth, and you got to be on it. You can't.
Well, did you hear him when he initially made the comment before it kind of blew up? Because it took about 12 hours before people were like going, what? That's not a word. I'm the decider.
He used a wordism. One of his many wordisms.
I think he was angry.
You could see it at the beginning of that clip. He's angry.
And,
he's annoyed.
Yeah, and he should have used his indoor voice. And anyway, we're going to get into that today. Plus, we got our question of the week, which is happens to do with famous people. We'll do a little bit of Tomcat's new baby, Suri, or according to our good dyslexic friend Parviz, Iris.
But it's so funny. I never heard the name. I mean, I kind of remembered it, but I just said, is it Iris?
Yeah.
No, Suri.
And let's see. We're going to have to do a plumbing update. We got a little karaoke kind of stuff going on today. We got some comedy from Brian Cox, who's a Canadian stand-up comedian, and a
fabulous actor as well.
Is he?
Yeah, I love
you know
him.
Brian Cox?
No, I don't. But there is a Brian Cox who's a fabulous actor. He
was in First Blood, I think.
But he goes by the name Big. All right. Thank you. We're 10 minutes into this episode of Schnauzer Lodge with the podcast. Robin Goldstein, Parviz Vitali, Sean Meehan, and of course, our regulars, as every week, our good friend, Mr. Kippadotta, Michael Zwirling,
Stroke or Unload,
Dick Cheney, Harry Whittington, and a little bit of new Kippadotta.
Ah, that's shit. It's shit.
It's an ensemble piece here. It's not just us tent pulling the operation. They all pull their weight.
How are you? We missed you last week.
Last week, I am fine, and I was fine, but I have a good friend who, strangely enough, has another... He's got a bad organ, and he was having some... He was having his biliary tree reamed out last week.
Is that something you're learning how to do?
Not yet. But I'm writing that down.
You go in through the mouth with the Stilson wrench and you... Yeah, it's basically probably not unlike some types of plumbing. You just roto-root out these little bile ducts that leave the liver.
How do they go in?
They go in through the mouth.
No.
They really do.
Really? And then they kind of snake it down through your esophagus?
They snake it down through the esophagus, down through the stomach, all the way down through the liver.
Is there a camera going down there?
I hope so. This has to be recorded.
Yeah. You want to see it on the internet? Is that what you're thinking?
No, you just want to see it while it's happening.
They're going to make one of those 3D virtual rides out of it in Vegas. You know,
would it be funny if the doctor made you wear 3D glasses? This will be good. Put this on.
You're tobogganing past excrement now. Here.
Oh, who hasn't?
Really? Anyone who's driven in the city knows that.
So they went in through...
So they went in through his mouth, and they snake this this device down, and they go through the liver down into these biliary, these bile canals.
All right.
And they blow up little balloons, kind of like angioplasty.
Okay.
And one of the balloons... was a little aggressive.
I see.
And tore some tissue. So he had to stay. And I was so panicked talking to the doctor that I totally forgot the show. So it was my bad. Last week I should have been here with the boys.
No, on the scale of things that are important, blown up biliary balloons versus Schnauzer Lutch at the podcast, I got to give it to the balloons.
Yeah. It would be weird if the doctor made balloon animals.
You can't see this, but I'm getting really good at this. Look at this.
Thank you.
It's like the Taco Bell Chihuahua.
Well, that's because you keep getting people writing in and saying we're not giving you enough props.
Rim shots, yeah.
I feel badly, so all right, fine, you know.
We're nothing if not responsive to listener feedback.
Well, we're glad to have you back here in the studio.
Absolutely.
And Parviz is here, so and you're going to do a plumbing update for us?
Yeah, I got a little story for you.
That'll be good. I think what we'll do is, let me just see here. I got all this stuff I want to, sorry.
I feel terrible, though, because we get the plumbing update now, but we've lost the dairy update.
No, I'll give you another dairy update.
Are you going to do dairy updates?
I'll make some up.
Okay.
I can't make it up. I don't know what's going on anymore. I'm so out of touch.
That was terrible. That was a terrible transition.
It was beautiful.
No. I mean me. It was a terrible transition. Well, no, because it's so weird. So you know, we talk about it. We've got somewhere between 300 and 500 people who listen to the show on a weekly basis. It may be more than that, but it's something.
Great.
It's something like that. And of those people, we get, you know, emails from people that we don't know. A handful.
Mm-hmm.
3, 4, which is about right in radio. They usually say, you know, you sort of get one message, one phone call for every 100 people that
are
listening.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, it's a lot of 1 to 100 kind of thing. And I'm guessing in podcasting, it's probably a good starting point in terms of thinking about this. So I figure we get, you know, 3 or 4 emails. All right, so on an average week, you know, 400 people, 300 people, something of that nature. And those people are listening to the radio as though it were radio. They're listening to the podcast as though it were radio. My friends, however, think that this is somehow an interactive entertainment. And so they go, oh, I didn't like when you did that. Oh, you shouldn't do that again. Oh, I wasn't funny. I don't understand that. That wasn't funny. And I'm thinking to myself, the show runs 2 hours. I mean, just, you know, close your eyes, take a deep breath, turn your head and cough. It'll be over.
Yeah. And that segment on bowel cancer wasn't meant to be funny. That was a serious investigation of the trauma caused.
Exactly. But I've been doing this, you and I, Sean and I, have been doing this for so long that I'm pretty good at not letting listeners get under my skin. They don't intend to. They think it's years ago. This is so interesting to me. Years ago, I was writing short essays. The idea was I was going to write a book of short essays. I was on sabbatical and I started to write a series of essays. And somebody said to me, "Would you be willing to do a reading at a Christmas party?" And I thought, wow, that'd be a lot of fun. And they said, well, just read something that you're already writing. But of course, being the masochist that I am, I thought, no, I actually write something for the Christmas party. And so I wrote something for the Christmas party that was kind of funny, kind of spiritual, had to do with the season, the end of the, you know, the old year, the beginning of the new year. And went to the party and sat down. I actually finished it sort of as I was going over to the party. So I was reading it off of a power book. Like, I didn't even have the chance to print the stupid thing out. And I sat down, and as I started to read, people started, like, shouting out from the audience. They were, like, heckling. But they thought they were helping. They didn't understand that entertainment is to be consumed. It's not a video game. This is not, you know...
It's all participatory.
Yeah, this is not the, you know, Schnauzer Logic. Now for Nintendo 64. Plug it in, and you also. And so... It's obviously nice when you get props and when you get, you know, people who have complaints. You have to think about that as well. But somebody complimented us this week on the fact that the show sounds good, right? It's got nice quality and stuff. And so, of course, the moment I make a mistake, now I realize I'm letting down Steve. I don't want to let Steve down. It's better if Steve were pissed. I like it better when people are upset with me than when people are complimentary about the show. Because then I can just ignore them. All right.
What I think is interesting is, like, when I listen back on the podcast.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Just get off of this for a second. A lot of times we go off. We don't stay focused. We go into another subject here and there.
Yeah.
And so I'm listening going, finish your thought. And I think that's where some of the frustration gets.
Could be. Did I just not finish my thought now?
No.
Is that what you're saying?
No, I kept my mouth shut so you can finish your thought.
And then a little longer.
I want to wait for another moment of silence to pass, and then I want to jump in with a new topic. Can I do that? Can I?
It doesn't feel like that sometimes. Yeah. It feels like that. It's like I finished my story, and like the two of you were staring at me, and I'm thinking, there's a booger. Somewhere there's a booger. I don't know what part of my body. It may not be an appropriate orifice, but there's a booger. And then, like, as you say, there's a beat, and then it's like, no, but what I was thinking. Oh, God. Well, we're professional.
Are we?
Yeah, of course.
Nice.
All right, here's what we're going to do. I definitely want to do the plumbing update.
Right.
Because I think that's good stuff.
Yeah.
And we got the comedy, and I'm real excited about the karaoke we're going to do today.
Me too.
Because you're a singer.
Oh, no. I mean, I am.
You can't sing either of those songs?
I can sing Bonnie Tyler.
Excellent.
But we have to do it together.
Turn around. Every now and then. Yeah. There you go.
That is so.
And we can work that.
Yeah, we can work that. And the James Blunt is just creepy.
Oh, yeah. But he is too. So
yes, he is.
It all works together. It is a beautiful fusion.
So we're going to get into that. All right. So we'll play a little bit of tunage here. Let's see. Who do we got? We got Blinded. I don't know.
Sound it out.
You want me to try to read it?
Blinded Deciderer. We got a band from Canada.
Yeah! I love damn Canadians.
And the song is called Crying, and it's a rock song. And we're going to play that, come back, do some more stuff. You're listening to Schnauzer Logic, Robin Goldstein, Sean Me, and Parviz Vitali asking you to please stick around.
Sometimes. This is Schnauzer Logic.
I stood alone and watched the sunset. I tried to we
feel that in every way, this new radio series offers an unusual opportunity to combine broad popular appeal with truly distinguished radio treatment.
Oh, and this one time, at band camp, I stuck a flute in my pussy.
Presto!
Hello?
This is Schnauzer Logic.
Welcome back. We are 23 minutes into this episode of Schnauzer Lodge of the podcast. Robin Goldstein, Sean Mee, and Parviz Patali. That was not blinded Keller. That was not. They're not even on the board here. I don't even know where I got that name from. That was a band called Desert Radio out of Vancouver, British Columbia. So at least I got the country right. And the song was known as February Day. So there you go. Welcome back. www.schnauzerlogic.com. That's the website. robin@schnauzerlogic.com. That is the email address. You can check out the blog. You can send us email, and you can also head over to MySpace. Have you been there yet?
Oh, I've been there, yes.
And?
It looks nice.
You don't have an account there yet, though.
No.
You've been checking out music and stuff like that?
No, I don't go to MySpace. Only for us, I go to check out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, there's very little going on there for us.
Right.
We got about 26, 27 folks who are... our friends.
Yeah, I'm not involved with MySpace.
Okay, sorry. All right.
You have to remember, this man was pulled off an airplane by federal officers. He's taking no chances whatsoever.
I'm not talking to anybody on MySpace.
It's a small step from terrorist to pedophile.
So did you celebrate the 100th anniversary of the day that the Earth shook?
You know what? I was extremely interested through all the whole week. Over the weekend, they had a bunch of specials on TV about what was going on in 1906. And it's always it's very interesting to me. I love history like that. But that morning, Tuesday morning, I went to work, and they were talking to survivors of this earthquake in San Francisco. They had it live on the radio.
Oh, I saw. I thought at work they were talking to them. I thought the survivors came down to the site, the job site. They go, wow.
No. These were people that were like 101, 102, and there was one that was 99. Or something like that.
What did that person have to say?
I know. Believe me, I said the same thing at the radio. I said, well, how they don't remember anything. So we're going off of what they remember 5 years later after they were born, what the state of the world was. But one lady, she was 99. So she said,
pussy.
She was like, well, I was conceived in one of those tents. That was her story.
Okay.
And then this other poor guy, he's like 101, and then the host is saying, you know, what happened? Do you remember anything? So we spent 10 minutes trying to get that first question out to this guy. I'm thinking, move on.
But many of them are actually very, very aware, very cogent, and five or six of them threw out the first pitch at Pac Bell, and that was pretty remarkable.
And also they had syringes, so which was... I don't get a rim shot.
No, in fact, I think I just sort of stare at you for that extra second. Because while a rim shot is funny, uncomfortable silence is just a little bit funnier.
I do remember one of those old farts. He was pumping the juice.
prune juice?
He's a pumping the juice.
I think he flipped off Barry Bonds. I'm not sure.
Oh, that's shit. That's shit. That's shit.
Now, I looked on a map. It turns out the San Andreas Fault is
directly under San Francisco.
But also, like, under here.
No, it is.
Literally, like, under, it's like 4 or 5 miles from here, over 17 is where it runs.
It's true.
And in 1906, San Jose and most of the Bay Area was devastated, but they concentrate on San Francisco because...
Well, there wasn't probably much down
here.
Agrarian
farms.
Stuff.
Right? Yeah.
Are you prepared for an earthquake?
Absolutely not, no. I wasn't prepared in 89 when we had the Loma Prieta quake. I was a mess back then. I was a total mess when that earthquake happened.
I see. Are you guys planning on having children?
No.
Okay.
But we tied up our water heater.
Now I can relax. What?
No.
Is that what you call it?
That's all I get out of all these earthquake stories for the past week. Tie up your water heater. I'm like, well, I live in an apartment, so.
Oh, I thought that was like
a plumbing thing. No, we're still talking about the earthquake.
Yeah, and I don't know. I thought it was a way of preventing pregnancy.
No,
well, I had my wife tie up a water heater. Okay, I don't know.
But it's an old Muslim saying: tie up your water heater, but trust in Allah. Thrust in a lava. Tie up your water heater.
Flush, but verify. You were going to say something.
I was just going to say, no matter how much preparation you put into the earthquake, obviously you can do things like store dry goods or have your bottles of water handy or whatever it is. Have the extra pet food on standby. But when the actual earthquake comes, you do stupid things. Now, for instance, we experienced a major earthquake in this area about 15 years ago.
Right.
The Loma Prieta earthquake, for those of you listening in distant parts of the world. And at that time, I had just returned to this area from Los Angeles, and I was working at an exotic car dealership. I was selling cars.
Wow.
And the earthquake we had in 89 here, the Loma Prieta quake, was a very long earthquake. Mm-hmm. You know, some earthquakes just hit with a sudden impacting force. Mm. But this was a long, rolling earthquake. So you had a lot of time to do dumb things. And I maximized my time. Going back to the Boy Scout manual on earthquake safety, I realized what I needed to do was get into a doorway and brace myself. So I was in a showroom of cars, of bouncing exotic cars, Ferraris and Lotuses, just
like low riders.
Yeah, but occasionally high riders. And so I kind of stumbled over and I jammed myself in the doorway of the dealership.
Wow.
Now, of course, the dealership is all made out of glass. And above me, above the door, a giant pane of glass. All around me, huge panes of glass. And so I sat in the doorway for what seemed like an eternity, watching the glass just bellow out and back and out and back. And I thought, oh, this is a terrible idea, Sean. This is just awful. So I decided to time my steps and run and leap into one of the bouncing cars. I leapt through the open window of a Lotus Esprit.
No.
I did. And the twin turbo black Lotus Esprit, tan seats, I remember it. And I, at first, I kind of missed because the car's moving, I'm moving, and I sort of deflected harmlessly off the door. And then I got in, I sort of pushed in, and most of the rest of the earthquake, I just remember this deep, sensual leather slamming into my face again and again as my legs kicked out the window of this car.
Did it?
Yeah.
You kicked out the windshield?
No, my legs were kicking out.
Dangly.
They were hanging out.
Like a teenager at one of those cliffs.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Gives a whole new meaning to the idea of what's it going to take to get you in one of these new Lotuses today. I guess the answer is an earthquake.
Yeah. It almost universally, people will make that
You know,
selection.
1906 was 30% greater than, 30 times greater than Loma Prieta.
It was an extraordinarily powerful earthquake.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Well, Loma Prieta wasn't the San Andreas fault.
No.
It was the...
No. It was... Which fault
Robert
was it?
Fault,
was
I think.
The Hayward fault?
The Hayward fault.
Hayward fault?
It was the Hayward fault.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. And most people, I don't know if they use this scale any longer. They may have retired it in the last few years. But the Richter scale, which most of us grew up with.
Named after Andy Richter.
to record the magnitude of the bomb he made for Fox with Andy Richter Controls the Universe. But the earthquake Richter scale is a logarithmic scale. So a lot of people don't realize that when you talk about a 6.5 and you talk about a 7.5, you're talking about a significantly larger earthquake with a 7.5 than a 6.5.
Right, powers of 10.
Yeah.
And were you were living here, obviously, in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
And you got into a doorway?
No, I was in my car, actually.
Were you?
Yeah, I was in my car driving to my mom's house, and the earthquake started. I was in a residential street, and it was the freakiest thing. Because all the cars on the street were moving and the trees were swaying.
Yeah.
And that moment I thought, oh, this is going to be bad. I didn't know how bad the earthquake was. But as soon as I got to my mom's house, which was like 3 or 4 blocks away, she was already outside practically naked yelling and screaming. And I said, you know what, get back in the house. And then after that, we went to go see my dad. He was at the shop and blah, blah, blah. And then all hell broke loose. And then my family and I, we just went downstairs in the living room. We brought off sleeping bags. We slept together in the living room and watched the news all night. And you know what's more terrifying than the actual earthquake? Were all those aftershocks, which lasted for days.
Yeah.
And you never know if this is going to be worse.
I thought having to sleep in the living room with your family is more terrifying than the earthquake.
No.
That's more terrifying.
I'm like, Dad, that's not the remote control.
Seeing your family naked.
I thought you were going to be driving down the street, you know, seeing the trees sway, the cars bounce. You're on your brick phone saying, Mom, the aliens are attacking. Get to the basement. You know, just those bad initial.
Are you prepared? Because he's given up already, so.
Yeah, I am not particularly prepared. No? I was more prepared.
Does your wife have a water heater? No, wait, that's not how it goes.
We tied that up a long time ago. Okay. You know, I used to, as you know, I used to be on dialysis. I had kind of a home dialysis thing. And so I was much more cautious about keeping supplies and things like that. But that all changed last summer. So I kind of gave that up. I just fly by the seat of my pants.
If you think about the logic, if I prepared for an earthquake in my home, I had the canned foods, whatever, and this whole neighborhood goes down in a rumble, right?
Yeah.
They're all going to come to me and eat all my food. So screw it. I don't tell anybody. It's like winning the lottery. You don't tell anybody because they all
come
back.
So you may be prepared and you're just not going to cop to it.
No, I'm not prepared. But if I was, I'm not going to tell you two because you'll come over. No, but if I was prepared, that would kind of suck because you have to give to your neighbor because they're hungry.
What about your Second Amendment advocacy? Why don't we just hear you say, yes, I'm prepared and I'm armed?
Actually, I am Persian. So that would work.
Are we promoting terrible social stereotypes here? Social, terrible cultural stereotypes.
Nothing. I'm Persian. That's all I got to say. I'm Persian. Just stand back. I got a cup of noodles.
It doesn't go anywhere.
What about you,
My
Robin?
My dog is a plumber. He must be a boy. Although I must tell you, his favorite toy is a little play stove with pans and with pots, which he really must like because he plays with it lots. So perhaps he's a girl, which kind of makes sense, since he can't throw a ball and he can't climb a fence. But neither can Dad, and I know he's a man.
Oh.
And Mom is a woman, and she drives a van. Maybe the problem is in trying to tell just what someone is by what he does well.
Maybe the problem is that you were raised by a lesbian and a homosexual. That could be what the problem is.
Are you prepared, Robin?
Am I prepared?
Yeah.
No. No. I missed the Loma Prieta. I actually flew out of San Francisco the day of the Loma Prieta earthquake, and when I landed, they told us that we were like one of the few last planes to leave because right after we left, there was this giant earthquake. So no, I've been through some fives and stuff like that in the area. I've been through a couple of big earthquakes in Tokyo, which are kind of interesting. But
now they're prepared.
Yes, they are. And the whole building will move feet back and forth. I have some videotape of a earthquake I was in Tokyo many, many years ago. But like you, we had an earthquake here, I don't know, a pretty good size one, a 4.8 or 4.9 that was San Andreas. So, it moved things around here. And I remember sitting in my chair, my ugly, broken, overstuffed Barry Bonds comfy chair in the living room, and realizing, first getting a little nauseous and thinking to myself, well, okay, something's going on with my brain. And then realizing that everything was moving. And then it didn't stop. And it continued. And I thought to myself, wow, we're having a really big earthquake. And then like a second later, I thought, why are you still sitting in the chair? You should get up. But like, there's a slow motion process, I think. The animal instincts take over. And
the trained, dispassionate Newtonian observer was working the controls in that moment.
Exactly, exactly.
You know what was really strange? I don't know if you guys have had this experience after. I don't know what the biggest earthquake you've been through is, and I don't know how things work in Tokyo. But here, after the Loma Prieta earthquake, I walked outside, out of the dealership, which was immediately adjacent to a residential neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And it was dead silent, mm-hmm. and you could see, not directly, but just over a hill, you could see that a huge plume of smoke was rising from downtown Santa Cruz, and the one sound you heard as I walked through this almost silent neighborhood was the old emergency...
Air raid horns.
The emergency alert system is what we have now, whatever it was, that tone.
Yeah.
That now we have a little... squeaks and giggles that we make over the radio and television. Right. But at that time, the emergency alert system gave this very frightening tone that I think we all associated with nuclear holocaust, you know, at that time, coming sort of coming out of the Cold War.
Right.
And it was very eerie. It was coming out of every home. Every radio was just, that was the one sound.
My sense is that we are less prepared, not only individually, but also from a governmental point of view, that things would be, well, that's what they've been saying, certainly, in the
sort of Katrina aftermath.
Exactly, exactly. That we're stretched thin, that the National Guard, which would be called up for these kinds of tragedies, are not here because they're overseas, getting ready to invade the next country alphabetically, I guess. So after Iraq, that would, Iran. Amazing how that works out. So yeah, I mean, I think there would be all kinds of devastation and destruction. The one thing that I do is I never let my gas tank get below half.
What was nice about...
That's a good idea.
I worked at a car dealership.
Yeah.
And so they have gas reserves there to fill cars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hand these sort of big hand pump tanks. So we all filled our tanks and went home. And it was nice. Because that was the only gas that was coming for a week or two.
Right, right. Yeah, I always keep a little extra cash in the house. No, I don't really.
You don't want to advertise.
But he's well
that.
Armed. No, and he's Persian. Really. Yeah. So what Robin doesn't say is Persian. And he's got cup of noodles.
Yeah, but I always keep gas in the, I always keep the tank pumped up. All right. I do want to, we'll do
plumbing update.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a little cute little plumbing story that happened this week.
Do you?
Yeah.
All right.
You know, all this earthquake talk, I kind of get the feeling we're going to have one like in about 3 to 4 minutes.
Well, it would be on the air then.
It would be on the air.
It'd be part of the podcast.
That's true. We'd crap our pants. We'd be like, whoa!
I don't know if I'd crap my pants. I don't think so. There's an animal quality that comes over you, though, when this happens. I mean, you realize that things which shouldn't bend are bendable.
Yeah.
and apparently, ultimately, breakable as well.
Yep.
The one in Tokyo was bizarre because I had been there for 3 weeks, I think. It's my first or second trip to Japan, and I had spent almost a month in Tokyo. And I was staying at the Shin Takanawa Prince Hotel in Shinagawa, which is the new Tokyo Prince Hotel, not to be confused with the Q Takanawa Prince Hotel, which was the old Takanawa Prince Hotel, although you never called it Q Takanawa. You never said old Takanawa Prince because that was somehow disrespectful. So you had Takanawa Prince and the new Takanawa Prince. Very confusing. Anyhow, over the course of the 3 or 4 weeks that I was there, I got drunk every night because every night I would meet with new people and they would try to test you. And so the social testing process was to go out and have dinner and get drunk with people. It served two purposes. First of all, the idea was to be able to disarm you socially. And second of all, they got to have these free meals and free drinks. So when I would go, you know, I've been doing this now for I don't know how long. Wouldn't it be nice if we could just, you know, go out for noodles? What? Noodles? Fuck you, noodles.
They're Jewish?
It's those Japanese Jews that drive
this. Fuck you. Fuck you, noodles. Don't talk to me about noodles.
The fuck are you, noodles?
We're having fish. We're going to have fish. You're going to eat it. You're going to like it. So, I don't do voices. You do voices.
Ding, 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 ding.
There you go. So after drinking literally at least 5 nights a week to get drunk, by the end of the third week, I was suffering the shakes when I wasn't drinking. And when I came home, I had the DTs. I mean, I had a couple of days. Well, that's a lot of alcohol to have in your system and then to pull it out. So I remember sitting in the hotel room and I was calling my folks, I think, back in the East Coast. And I had, you know, because of the 12, 13-hour time difference. And it was late at night. It was early in the morning there. And all of a sudden, everything started to move. And I thought, oh, my God, I'm having a seizure. That was the first thing that I thought because the movement was so violent. And then I noticed that the draperies in the room were swaying back and forth and that the little pull chains on the lamp was swaying back and forth. And I said, you know, to my dad, I said, fuck, we're having a big motherfucking earthquake here right now. And I grabbed my camcorder, which I had on the bed because I think it was a Saturday. I was out walking around and photographed stuff in the room moving around. I don't know, it runs on for 15 seconds, 20 seconds, whatever it is, you know, some kind of thing. And everything settles down, you know, your heart is racing. And then each room has a little emergency klaxon, you know, PA system. And a voice comes on and says, "Attention, attention. This is the hotel manager. We have just had an earthquake. But don't worry, this building is earthquake proof." And I thought to myself, it's interesting that that comes on only after.
It's never in the brochure.
Because if
basically, because you already know at that point. You know whether the building is or is not earthquake proof.
That's exactly my point.
Imagine how hard it is for those poor people, though, groping on subways with the little secretaries with their butts moving and them unable to synchronize their own. Terrible.
All right, we'll take another break here, play some more tunage, and come back, talk about plumbing. You're listening to Schnauzer Logic, the podcast, and we are all inviting you to please stick around.
Stick around for more Schnauzer Logic.
Flushing the toilet while your spouse is in the shower.
Oh, sorry.
Schnauzer Logic.
Welcome back. 47 minutes into the first hour of Schnauzer Logic, the podcast. Our big April the 19th. The Ides of April. Well, that's not quite right. Robin Goldstein, host, buddy, pal, straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman, patent attorney who has ever since viewed a master green city planning. Saying Sona Vista to my good friends Parvis Vitali.
Sona Vista, Robin, and tomorrow's a big day for potheads.
420, dude.
420.
420, dude.
420 at 420.
Woo! I'm there.
As a matter of fact, this podcast will be up by tomorrow, right? By 420?
So everybody
totally.
Could be.
You could be listening
you could
to
be
this.
At wow. 420,
at
man.
420.
Oh. But wait. If it's 420, it may be 420 now somewhere else. It's the same time. It's like a wormhole.
Were you guys ever potheads?
No.
No? Robin?
Hey, welcome back. We're 4 minutes and 20 seconds into this episode of Schnauzer Logic.
Wink, wink, nod, nod. All right.
I don't, you know,
you probably started after that Tokyo earthquake. Give me some of that.
There may be children listening to this program. I don't want to advocate any 420-isms. Ooh, I found something. I think you're going to enjoy this. Yeah, here we go. This is for you, my friend. A little loving.
When the ice comes and the snow, and it's 48 below, and then the temperature begins to fall, and they hear the moan and whine of the frozen water line, then the plumber is the man who saves them all. Oh, the plumber is the man, the plumber is the man. Down into the cellar he must crawl, he must crawl. He is not sleek or slim, and they all look down on him, but the plumber is the man who saves them all. When the toilet will not flush, and the odor makes you blush, and you cannot use the sink or shower stall, then your learning and your art slowly start to fall apart, but the plumber is the man who saves them all.
That's me.
Oh, the plumber is the man, the plumber is the man. With his wrenches and his pipes, he comes to call,
comes to call.
They can give their sins to Jesus, but when their water freezes, then the plumber is the man who saves them all.
Another verse?
Sure, let's
now
hear.
I know that in one's youth, that beauty, justice, truth seemed to be what life was all about. Ah, but when the facts are faced, you can see that life is based on water coming in and going out. Oh, the plumber is the man, the plumber is the man. A scholar's not the person you would call,
you would call.
Without a plumbing brain, we would all go down the drain, and the plumber is the man who saves us all.
Give me a broom joint. Your gate valve's leaking too. You really need a ball.
We got a theme song for you, my friend.
I like it. I like it.
Yeah?
I do. I like it, yeah.
Who would have thought that we could find a plumbing song? And yet, we found a plumbing song. Is this going to be your new theme? Well,
yeah. The interesting thing is, though, I if I play my cards right,
you wouldn't have to do any of this.
I wouldn't have to do any of that. I wouldn't have to deal with plumbing in a house or residential. It's all going to be commercial plumbing.
Dude, I couldn't find a commercial plumbing song.
But when she's talking about the poop, it's kind of stinky. I'm not going to have to deal with
hold
that.
Hold on.
Never dresses up, and he doesn't go for tennis or handball or Mozart or Chopin. But when it hits the fan, then the plumber is the man who saves us all. Oh, the plumber is the man,
the plumber is the man.
With his vest and rubber boots and overalls,
overalls.
So don't turn up your nose at the aroma of his clothes, cause the plumber is the man who saves us all. Oh, the plumber is the man, the plumber is the man. Down into the cellar he must crawl,
he must crawl.
He is not sleek or slim, and they all look down on him, but the plumber is the man who saves us all. Who saves us all?
Yeah. Excellent.
Very nice. Very nice.
All right.
So, and our hats off to the International Labor United Brotherhood's 246 and 247 for the beautiful song.
Indeed.
Did I notice, did I detect, though, a slight bias on your part? Against, I'm not going to be one of those kinds of plumbers.
Like, I want to make that perfectly clear. Like, for example, I just started my first week. Today was my first official, I was dispatched to my first job as a plumber.
Okay.
So I went out on Monday, and I know absolutely nothing in the plumbing field.
That's the other thing he makes absolutely clear every week. He makes two things absolutely clear every time he talks
about commercial.
Number one, it's commercial, and I don't know anything about anything.
But what he does know is that he holds in disdain non-commercial plumbers. Those who go out to people's houses and loosen drains. Those
are smart plumbers.
Oh, they think they're so good with their... They're so fancy with their little... snakes and
boots
boots and snakes
and liquid lye.
So I get out there Monday and I take a safety test immediately when I get on the job site. And
everyone or just you?
Just me, because I'm the new guy. I'm walking in. Okay. So they toss me in a room and they make me take a test and that I know.
I've had that happen on a first date. I don't know what that means.
So what happens is, let me tell you a quick little story.
Go ahead.
This was on Monday where I check in with the foreman. And this foreman is just in charge of four people, and I'm part of that four people.
Is his name George?
No. Rob. So there's another foreman who's in charge of the whole job, okay? But I only go to this foreman.
So you go to like a plumbing foreman?
Yeah, plumbing foreman. Because there's another guy who's part of sheet metal. This guy's part of plumbing. This guy. So I go to the plumbing guy, right?
Okay.
So we were at a biotech lab here in San Jose.
Okay.
And
thanks for pointing with your right with your right hand. Thank you, Vanna. We go to a biotech lab over here in San Jose. Back to you, Pat.
Okay, so, of course, you have to understand, I know nothing, so I get on the job.
If there's one thing that we do understand, Sean,
I know nothing.
How much do you know about it?
Nothing. So I get on there, and I tell Rob, I go, okay, you do know. He goes, yes. He says, I know, I heard about you. I said, all right.
Words getting around.
Apparently. Type in Nothing Plumbing. That should be the name of your company. Nothing Plumbing.
Nothing Plumbing. So I get teamed up with a guy named Dave. Now you have to, Dave looks like this plumber in the song. He's a big guy, and he actually told me that people call him Shrek. Farts a lot, he's a big guy. Okay, Dave. Dave looks and acts mildly retarded. Mildly retarded.
Okay.
I mean, he looks, when he takes off his hard hat and his glasses, he gives you that Jack Nicholson look in The Shining where his head tilts down, the eyebrows go down. He's very possessed and he looks weird. But as soon as he puts the hard hat and glasses, he looks normal. He giggles a lot. He's mildly retarded, okay? And I'm getting the sense on Monday, like, I don't know if this guy's got all the marbles, and I don't know if I should be working side by side, because we were in this biotech lab in this room.
He passed the test.
He did. That's what the weird thing was.
That's all we need to know.
And you know, I asked him. I said,
did he have to take a safety exam when he walked into?
On Wednesday, when he first walked in last Wednesday. Yeah.
All right.
So we're in this room, and we have to change copper piping in this room filled with different kind of gases everywhere. And now we got a solder and we got a braze, right?
And so he has his own gases, which he's adding to the
environment. Well, he has his own gas, and he's preparing to shoot fire in this big room with all this gas. And I was terrified because this guy, he just does not seem stable.
Now, did you tell me in the story, did you tell us that he had just taken his test last Wednesday?
No. He got to that job site on Wednesday.
Oh, okay.
He took his test 5 years ago.
Oh, phew.
Okay. Yeah,
so he's coming to the end of his.
He's actually 1 month. He'll reach his journeyman status in 1 month.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you could work for him.
No. I will work beside him, and he'll show me the trade. But I see. So anyway, so Dave and I are inside this biotech room with a bunch of gases.
Were they noble gases?
No. Rob, the guy I check in with.
Yeah.
The big guy comes in.
Also, Rob.
No. Bill, I think, right? He lost his freaking mind. This was 10 minutes before we got off of work on Monday.
who the F are you guys coming in here without a badge? You know, you can get fired, and who the fuck? And he just cuss. I'm sitting, of course, Dave's like, he looks dumb, and he doesn't react, and I'm sitting there because I'm brand new. And I said, I don't know if you know this, but I know nothing.
Hadn't gotten to him. It hadn't gotten. Oh, you're the guy. Okay. This makes sense now.
Which is actually happening because I'm like, what are you talking about badges? He goes, don't you know you're supposed to have a badge? He lost his
don't
mind.
Don't need any stinking badges.
So he told us to get out of there right now, which was good because Dave was just about going to start a fire. And he said, just get out of here right now. He sent us home. We had to come back in the next day, Tuesday morning. We had to take another test to get these badges. And he kind of, so my boss, Rob, got his butt chewed out because we didn't have badges.
Right.
And Rob's idea is like, oh, you don't need any stinking badges. I've been doing this forever. But this guy was just following the rules and stuff. So everybody kind of lost their mind. I just kind of sat back. Why? Because I don't have to know anything. I'm still so new.
How long do you figure that's going to work for you?
I don't know. But it's funny you should say that because I'm thinking I could milk this for about 2 to 3 weeks. And I think on the fourth, they'll be like, you know what? Cut the crap.
Well,
right?
If they think you're mildly retarded, maybe you can milk it for 4 or 5
if years. If I just cross my eyes all the time.
I don't think kind of hurry there to learn anything.
So yesterday on Tuesday, I was on a ladder for 8 hours putting up copper piping. Setting up this brand new copper pipe and outside. So that's my big plumbing update.
How do you know how to braze?
I don't know. They're going to teach me. But Dave knows.
Dave knows how to braze.
And Dave's going to do it in front of me, and then he's going to hand me the tool, and he's going, all right, now do this.
I see.
I was taught how to solder last week, so the guy solders, and then he gives me the tools, and I screwed up big time. And he's like, get the flame away from the pipe. You're screwing it up. I'm like, I don't know if you heard.
You know that guy that doesn't know anything? That's me. That's me.
Look at the tag below the badge.
So every week I'm going to come here, and if I have all my fingers and toes, and if I'm not broken, it's been a good week.
So you're having a good time?
So far, so good. So far, so good.
So where were you today? Same site?
Same site. I'll be at this site for like 4 weeks.
Be here all week. Okay.
I'll be there for... As a matter of fact, I spoke to Rob. I had a nice conversation. He actually told me, he goes, how's Dave? I go, well, Dave's cool. He's a nice guy. He's teaching me a few things. Yeah, he's kind of a weird guy. I go, great. So you know he's a weird guy, so you put me with the weird guy. He goes, I'm sorry. He was the only one available. So anyways, he was just hoping that Dave wasn't teaching me the wrong way to do things. Dave's a mess.
But is he a good plumber?
Apparently, he's very smart. He's quick in math. He knows his fractions. He knows how to, like, subtract and add.
And that is important because...
it is. Because you can't screw up that copper lining.
No. And subtraction
but
is
so far,
addition's tricky path.
So far, so good. Something?
I've been connecting and putting stuff together, but trust me, they make me do monkey work. Why? They're not trusting me with anything just quite yet because I'm not supposed to know anything. As soon as I start learning, I go to classes and stuff. And
so how they teach you how to solder?
The guy just shows me.
You use an oxyacetylene torch?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He doesn't even know.
Yeah. And then he gets this and he's like, you do this and then you check it on the brass. When the brass is hot, then you go to the copper, blah, blah, blah. And he's giving me all these ideas on how to do this. And then I do it and the first one was horrible. Second one was not bad. And the third one, I got the hang of it.
And so
then I got a little cocky. And he's like, all right, settle down, kid. I'm like, all right.
Wow.
So what happens?
Now
so
he's building
scary.
Planes for Boeing.
Hey, we all have to start somewhere, right?
This is scary. But I mean, it's not like Paul McCartney and the Beatles. It's not like when you go home, he comes back in and redoes all your work.
Probably is. It probably is.
But like Paul and Ringo.
Yeah. Good job, Ringo.
No, go home. Go home to Catherine Bach. Yeah, I'll see you tomorrow. Cheers.
Next day. Doesn't sound like that, Paul. But anyways, so far so good. I'm having a good time.
All right.
Yeah.
And the rest of your life, you find that you have the energy to do the things that are important to you?
Yeah, I start work early, 6 in the morning, get off at 2:30.
All right.
Yeah, everything so far is in a nice little rhythm.
Is this appealing to you? Something you think you might pick up when you go through your next midlife crisis?
Yeah, as the plumbers begin to stand down, I will stand up. That is...
All right. We are 2 minutes into this second hour of Schnauzer Live, the podcast. All right, I got a little bit of audio I'm going to play here to break this up. So you were done, yes?
He was just waiting for the appropriate length of silence to jump back in.
My dog is a plumber. He must be a boy. Although I must tell you, his favorite toy is a little play stove with pans and with pots, which he really must like because he plays with it lots.
He's got a gay dog.
So perhaps he's a girl.
And I don't know what this has to do with being a plumber.
Since he can't throw a ball and he can't climb a fence.
This has nothing to do with being a plumber.
But neither can Dad. And I know he's a man. And Mom is a woman and she drives a van. Maybe the problem is in trying to tell just what someone is by what he does well.
Did you ever think Dick Cavett was funny?
Well, no, but he's witty. He's clever. He's urbane.
He's urbane, witty, and clever. Absolutely.
He's got great Groucho stories. There you go. That's enough to get laid. But but the more I listen to this, the more I realize this has nothing to do with being a plumber. All right.
All right. What are you going to play for us?
So, Brian Cox?
Brian Cox.
Brian Cox. You know Brian Cox.
Well, Brian Cox, of course, is an actor who played, he was the original Dr. Lecter in Manhunter. He was the bad guy in the Bourne films. He was the, particularly the bad guy in the second Bourne film.
Okay.
He played Robert McKee. In adaptation.
Very nice. Not him. This is this not him. This is somebody else. Brian Cox is a Canadian stand-up comedian. It almost rhymes. And I ran across him on the website where sometimes people exchange voices with each other. He's someone who does a lot of voices, which you'll be able to tell from the little bit that we're going to play here. And he has some stand-up comedy that he's recorded. He's trying to get his comedians out there. And so I thought, and so he sent me an email, and he said, I was reading through some of the previous posts, and most of them were shite, except for yours, which you actually had some intelligent, interesting things to say to me. I listened to your show, and it's funny, and I'm thinking maybe you'd like to play some of my comedians. Each week you'd sort of play like a little bit of stand-up comedy from a Canadian comedian. And I said, that would be great. He said, I also have this bit where I'm writing a book, and so it's sort of stories of the road as being a stand-up and what it's like to be on the road. And they run sort of 10 to 20 minutes a section. And I said, yeah, I don't think so, because it's not that that wouldn't be interesting to me, but that's a lot of time to give up on a weekly basis. I'll definitely take the stand-up comedians. And if you had like a short one of the other things, I'd be fine. So he sent me no stand-up comedians.
Screw them.
Ignored that completely and instead sent me chapter one of his comedy road story. So we have to decide whether we're going to play this every week or not. Well, we bump the same one every week. I mean, we only do that with things like Kipadada, but...
That's shit. Shit.
I didn't speed that up, by the way. That's fastest he
speed.
Said it. The fastest he said any three or four words in a row. Did you get a chance to listen to the rest of the interview, by the way?
Yes.
You dig it?
I thought it was a terrific interview, and we had a brief conversation around that time where I said, I think that that's something we should explore for future shows. You know, you doing a pre-recorded interview with someone of some length that we put into the show, insert it, and over a couple of weeks, I like that idea too. I like the it's a tease,
yeah,
for next week.
I think that is a good thing. Well, we'll try that. I just need to find people who are willing to talk to me. But anyhow, I figure we play this comedy road story. So this is episode one. There may or may not be an episode two, but comedy road stories.
What some say about the comedy of Brian Cox.
They're not going to like what they hear.
That's very funny.
I just want you to know that you may have done some bad things, but that does not make you a bad kid.
This isn't the first time my wit has gone unappreciated.
Funny, funny, funny comedy.
Amen to that.
I'm a dirty, dirty man.
Is there a big, sexy guy in here?
I'm an entertainer. That's my job.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brian Cox.
Hey, you know, I could have been your father, but the dog beat me over the fence first, apparently. Why do people yell stuff out at stand-up comics and try to screw them up? You know, they don't realize, folks, that working as a stand-up comic, that's your job. You're being paid to be an asshole. Yeah, and they're doing it for free. I don't walk into an operating room and say to the surgeon, hey, let me try something. getting hecklers every night. It's part of the job. But I don't know why people do that. What you're about to hear are some of the road stories from the comics who are out there on the highway every night trying to make you laugh, from big towns to small towns to big venues to small venues. And you're also going to pick up some tips on how maybe you can become a stand-up comic. And this is right from the horse's mouth, as they say. Hi, everybody. I'm Brian Cox, and I'm a stand-up comic. And having a name like Cox, yeah, I know. I get kidded about it. Let me tell you, growing up with a name like that can be, well, hard. Anyway, but, oh, yeah, my sister, she's going through hell. Hey, her name is Anita. Enough chit-chat. Let's get into the stories from the comics. And these stories have actually happened to me and other comics out there from small town to small town to small town. And this is exactly what happens to you before you get your shot on The Tonight Show or The David Letterman Show. Anyway, folks, here's hoping that you get the general feeling of the fun that we have out there every night. And maybe you'll feel some of the heartbreak that we feel, too. Anyway, hang on, folks. It's time to go on the road. There's a chain of comedy clubs across Canada, and it's called Yuck Yucks. With the
wait a second here. I'm sorry.
I want to be respectful, but oh, man. Okay, first of all, we only have like a minute 30 seconds left of the whole bit. The whole thing was taken up with intro and... Buddy Klee from the Kippadada School of Comedy.
He did not introduce himself until after there was previous material.
We got to finish playing it, don't you
think? Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I'm committed. We're committed now.
Are you feeling better about yourself?
What do you mean? Was I not supposed to?
All right, here we go. Where's the good play? I'll leave the mics in here. Here we go.
Head office being in Toronto. If you want to book a comic through Yucks, you phone them up and they send out a one-man, two-man, three-man show, whatever you want. They got a call and it was for a noon hour show. They wanted two comics. So they checked their roster. All they had left was two really unexperienced guys, one named Ralph and the other one named Jim. Well, Ralph and Jim were just up in Northern Ontario the night before, drove back to Toronto, and got in very, very late. And yes, they were booked for this noon hour show. So they got up early and went out. Found out when they got there that it was a wet t-shirt contest. And these guys wanted comedians on before the girls. So Ralph had to emcee the event, which paid like $50. Then
he
brought
gets
on
one.
Jim, which, well, and he got paid about $100 because he's doing more time. So it started, and Ralph had a hell of a time trying to quiet down the mainly male audience. He got them down to a loud murmur, then thought, hey, this would be a good time to bring on Jim. So Jim got on stage, did all of his best stuff. As a matter of fact, three or four people out of the 200 were giggling, but the rest were yelling at him, going, get off the stage, bring on the girls. Well, Jim had only done about 10 minutes of his contracted 30, and he got off the stage only in fear of being hurt. He was bombed big time, just bombing big time. The wet t-shirt contest, well, that's well behind Ralph and Jim. Now, Ralph has gone on to host a national talk show on a national network in Canada, and Jim Carrey, well, he went on to make movies to the tune of about $10, $12 million a movie. There you go. A true story from the road. I see our time's almost up, but I do want to thank you all for joining us. I'm Brian Cox. Make sure you join us next week. We've got a ton more stories and hints on how to become a stand-up comic. Take care and keep on smiling.
Yeah, once again, we've hit a cul-de-sac.
A wiser fellow than myself once said, sometimes you eat the bar and sometimes the bar, well, he eats you.
There's a lot to be said for making people laugh. Did you know that's all some people have? It isn't much, but it's better than nothing in this cockeyed caravan.
Ah, that's shit. It's shit. It's shit. It's shit.
Wow. And now you know the rest of the story.
You read my mind.
So I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention. What?
Wow, so next week,
I'm sorry.
Next week will be interesting, huh?
Yeah, because it won't be on.
Yeah. Oh, I certainly appreciate what he's trying to do.
You know, and this goes out. I think we all feel this way because we've all tried. We all know how difficult comedy is, and we all try to do our best, and we don't always reach the bar we set for ourselves or that others might expect us to reach.
That sounded like something that should have started the show.
What? What I just played?
Yeah.
The whole thing?
No, just up to the point where it's not. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, you know, we start the show usually with a joke that's terrible. And so we start the show with this. It can only go...
Once again, though, what did we start the show with? A joke that's terrible. Part of that is true here, but not all of it. I don't know. I the guy is probably a really great guy, and I like him. And
I think this is the first time I've lost interest in my own podcast. I'm waiting for it to be over. Looking at the watch.
We're wrapping up.
Exactly.
We've already been an hour and a half.
Hey, did you ever play the guys from Modesto?
Yeah, we did, didn't we?
Did you?
We did. We did.
I think so, yeah.
Number 10. Number 10 episode.
Was it episode number 10?
Yeah, I thought so.
I think we got to it.
Yeah.
Taco.
Here they are.
Taco. Need more taco. Yummy,
can we
yummy,
karaoke
taco.
To this? Because
we should take a break taco. And do karaoke.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's get this podcast need back on track.
Taco. All right.
I gotta go cleanse my palate.
All right, that's fair. All right, so we're gonna take a break.
I want some taco.
I don't know how to do it from where I am here.
I wish I had some taco. Taco to call my own.
All right.
Yes, I like.
We'll take a break. We'll play some tunage. We'll come back. We'll do some karaoke. You're listening to Schnauzerlodge, the podcast. Robin Goldstein, Parviz Patali, Sean Meehan, inviting you to please have a taco. Stick around.
Drop that sandwich, pick up a taco, ain't it grand? Pick up a taco and be a man.
You must be at least this tall to be on this ride.
Stick around for more Schnauzer Logic.
Yeah.
universe from the top of the Empire State Building.
Actually, it's a second bedroom with some bath mats taped to the wall.
And broadcasting loud to all time zones around the world in stereo.
It's a medium bitrate podcast. Oh, and it's mono.
This is
Schnauzer Logic!
Welcome back. 18 minutes into the second hour of this episode of Schnauzer Logic, the podcast. Robin Goldstein, Sean Meehan, Parviz Patali, www.schnauzerlogic.com, robin@schnauzerlogic.com, straight white booze vegetarian, lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman, patent attorney with a bizarre sense of humor, and a master's degree in cityplanning.com. That made you laugh?
That was funny. That's funny.
Thank you.
Everything should end with .com.
.com. All right. That was tunage from Ben Drive Park. No, Ben Park Drive.
Fuck.
There's only six possibilities. Nine? Is it factorial?
Yeah,
or a combination?
Yeah, it's factorial.
Factorial. And I got it wrong. Denver, Colorado, getaway.
That was good tunage.
It was good. Some good tunage. All right. So we were talking before the show, and I was listening to... You got asbestos? You working on asbestos? You got brown lung disease? What do plumbers get? If athletes get athlete's foot... No, wait. That's the joke. What do spacemen get?
Plumber's crack,
no,
I guess.
Mistletoe. Thank you very much. I'm gonna, yeah, I'm looking for it. Oh, I gotta get that to me. That's not it.
There you go. Alkaloids, my friend.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
On the brink of a nervous breakdown.
Ah, that's shit.
Okay, stop. I'm exhausted. It's time to take another break. All right, here's my point. My point was that I was watching, this new high-def cable thing. And so they have this channel I hadn't received before called In Demand High Definition. And mostly what they do is they broadcast either sporting events or concerts that they've taped in high definition. So I've seen some of these before, Soundstage, things that they show on PBS, Show Crow and Counting Crows. And I'm seeing a pattern, actually, now. The Black Crows and... I don't know. So I found there was, but one that I had not seen before was this James Blunt fellow. Now, you know who he is. Yes? No?
No.
You don't know who he is. All right. Let me see here. So I've got his tunage. We don't usually play tunage, but this is for educational purposes. So I think
is
it's okay.
Is this safe to do?
Yeah, this is safe to do. Apparently, this was a huge hit in England, I think, in 2005. And they kind of made the jump across the ocean. Hasn't been to Canada yet. They're still doing Jim Carrey jokes.
I just pray to God you filtered out the game. My life is brilliant.
My life is brilliant. My love is pure. I saw an angel, of that I'm sure. She smiled at me on the subway. She was with another man, but I won't lose no sleep on that, 'cause I've got a plan. You're beautiful.
Oh yeah, I know.
So the title didn't give it away.
No, I recognize the chorus.
Song by James Blunt. You're beautiful.
I recognize the chorus.
I started to think about this. I had two thoughts. The first thought was, I think there's actually certain music that can turn you gay. And I think... Well,
really, his first thought was, damn, that John Tesh is looking good.
Three thoughts. There was something... There's something weird, creepy about the song. And then I started to listen to the lyrics, and I thought, this is... I know it sounds like a love song, but it's not a love song. It's kind of a stalker song.
It's not even an unrequited love song.
It's a stalker song. And so I mentioned it to you, and you had an interesting take on this.
And, well, I don't remember my take, so you're going to... This is tragic, because finally I had an interesting take, and...
Well, the way that you sang the song was interesting. I thought you... No?
No.
You never sang the song.
I've never seen you before. Where am I? Oh, my God, it's an earthquake! Jesus!
Well, maybe I'm just making this up. So I thought to myself, well, I thought it'd be fun if we sang it. Somehow, going from this is creepy and gay to we should sing this song.
Which is a natural progression anyone in our audience could understand.
I have the karaoke version of it. So I thought we could take turns singing a verse or two. Are you up for it? You're professional.
No, not on me. Not on this song. Not the
you won't try this?
No, I'll do the next one.
Well, you got to try this one.
All right. I'll try it.
But I want Sean to start.
All right.
I want him to take the first chorus.
So you take the first verse. I'll take the first chorus.
My love is brilliant. My love is pure. A thorn angel. Of that I'm sure. She smiled at me.
No, I don't know how the rest of that goes, though. So I'm in trouble. You gotta help me out when you reach an appropriate part.
Here we go.
Cause I've got a plan.
You're beautiful. You're beautiful. You're beautiful.
It's true.
I saw
song.
Your face in a crowded place. And I don't know what to do. Cause I'll never.
Very nice. Now, the lyrics to the second verse is interesting. With the F word there?
Yeah.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah. Want to take that?
Okay, here we go.
I'll sing it out with you.
Yeah, she
caught my eye as she walked on by. She could see from my face that I was fucking high. And I don't think I'll ever see her again. But we shared a moment that will last till the end.
You're beautiful. You're beautiful. You're beautiful.
It's true.
I saw your face in a crowded place. And I don't know what to do. I'm the Donald. Because I'll never be with you. I got the money, but I'll never be with you.
That
you're beautiful. You're beautiful.
That was like
beautiful.
The chairman of the board.
You're beautiful,
really.
Baby. You're fired, but it's true. Oh, there must be an angel. Wait, this is the break.
Bridge
to go get you, baby. There must be an angel with a smile on her face. When she thought she up, I should be with you. But it's time to face the truth that I am gay. I will never be with you.
I love how you close your eyes and you do that last part. Like you're in the moment.
He's feeling it so deeply that I was feeling it.
Something was going to break, or at least burn.
It's so sad that Al Stewart has to use another name to try and crawl back into the business.
I just thought this was so... Was that entertaining?
No, that was disturbing.
That was disturbing. So karaoke's a bad idea?
No. It's a good idea. But the disturbing part, this song is so obscure that I can't imagine anybody knows this.
This is a huge hit.
This guy was on Saturday Night.
I'm sorry, you Doublemint twins. I had no idea.
I saw this guy a few weeks ago on Saturday Night Live.
Absolutely. That's where I saw him, too.
This was his big song.
This is the big song. What are you doing on Saturday Night?
Saturday Night Live.
What are you doing Saturday Night Live? What are you doing on Saturday Night Live?
Not listening to James Blunt, that's for sure.
You're beautiful.
You're beautiful.
That's true.
It was just, this is a creepy, weird-ass song. Fill in the blanks.
Or is it like a strange homage to that moment in Citizen Kane where the guy... I shit you not. You think I'm shitting you?
I think you're shitting me.
I am not shitting you.
All right.
It's
I haven't said a potty word all day today. Sean's the first one.
Sean Meehan, explain.
There is a scene in Citizen Kane where they're looking into Kane's life, and they go to one of the guys who I believe was one of the money men with Kane, and he tells this story. Mm-hmm. Almost the entire piece is him telling a story about how he saw a woman on a ferry boat or something in the early part of the 19th century, or the 20th century, excuse me, and just the moment he shared with this woman, who he never knew, he never met, never saw her again, but it was a sort of magical, intoxicating moment. This was all about trying to explain what Rosebud might have meant.
I see.
And he was saying, who knows, it could have been the most powerful moments we have in our lives can be these very ephemeral, transitory kind of moments. They aren't necessarily the milestone moments you'd think they would be. When I got the Oscar, you know.
Right.
Yeah, so maybe this is his, he was so moved.
It says here, my life is brilliant, egomaniac, my love is pure, so he's a virgin.
He's the decider.
Exactly. I saw an angel, that I'm sure. She smiled at me in the subway. Once, perfect, good stalker stuff, right? Oh, she knows me. She knows me. She was with another man, but I won't lose no sleep on that because I've got a plan. Okay, I read the rest of the lyrics. There's no plan. I see no plan in here. You're beautiful, you're beautiful, you're beautiful. It's true. I saw your face in a crowded place, and I don't know what to do because I'll never be with you. Okay, I'm looking for the plan. Yeah, she caught my eye. She walked on by. She could see from my face that I was fucking high. And I don't think that I'll see her again, but we shared a moment that will last till the end. The end of what? That's a threat. I think in a court of law, this is an affirmative statement that can be read. Your Honor, this is affirmative that can be read as a statement. He was reaching into his pocket. It was a furtive movement, and I thought that he had maybe some gum. You're beautiful, you're beautiful, you're beautiful, it's true. I saw your face in a crowded place, and I don't know what to do because I'll never be with you. You're beautiful, you're beautiful, you're beautiful, it's true. Well, we're running out of time here. We got one more lyric. I'm looking for a plan.
Clock is ticking.
There must be an angel with a smile on her face when she thought up that I should be with you. What the fuck?
But that I agree. Well, he was fucking high. Let's not
but
forget.
It's time to face the truth. I will never be with... He had no plan. This guy has no plan. That's my point. I rest your case.
So how does that make me gay?
Well, if you don't know, I'm not going to tell.
It's already happening. The thing is, though, there may be a plan. It was a simple plan because this could have been a Japanese subway, and he's just going to go over and grope her. And that's just it. The door's open. He gets off at his stop. He's done. She's shocked. It's over.
But you were...
Don't point your finger at me. I had nothing to do with this.
Here we go. Hey.
Go for it.
No.
No, you do the turnaround part.
I will, but this is the original. So this isn't the karaoke yet. Hold on.
All right, we know the original. Let's impress our audience.
Oh, okay. So you were up for singing.
He's dying.
You like this song.
He's living in a powder keg.
Now, this is not
when
a
I was
gay,
in the seventh grade, this song was
this is
the
not
bomb.
A gay song?
You know what song? You know what this reminds me of? I'll tell you, and I wouldn't be surprised if this person wrote it. The person that writes all the person, I forget his name, the guy who writes all Meatloaf songs.
Jim Steadman.
Yes. Did he write this song?
No. I don't know.
Because this is that kind of operatic, kind of long lyrics, a lot of lyrics.
It tastes like meatloaf.
Exactly. As a matter of, yeah. I think he wrote this song.
I actually always liked this song.
We'll have to check this out.
You don't think this is gay? Okay, get ready. Go.
Every now and then.
Only and I never coming around. Go.
Every now and then I get a little bit tired of listening to the sounds of my tears. Every now and then I get a little bit nervous and the best of all the years have gone by. Every now and then I get a little bit terrified and then I see the look. Did you click me off? Every now and then I fall apart.
Nice. It's like Schnauzer Idol.
Every now and then I fall apart.
Every now and then I get a little bit restless and I dream of something wild. And every now and then I get a little bit helpless, I'm lying like a child in your arms. Every now and then I get a little bit angry and I cry. Every now and then I get a little bit terrified, but then see, look in your eyes. Every now and then I fall apart.
And I need you more tonight,
baby.
And I need you more than ever,
baby.
And if you only hold me tight, we'll be holding on forever.
Can't go through the whole song. You gotta get to the sparks.
Yeah, come on, you gotta go
to it. I don't know what to do. I'm always in the dark. We're living in a powder keg and giving off sparks. I really need you tonight. Forever's gonna start tonight. Forever's gonna start tonight.
Once upon a time I was falling in love. Falling apart.
You know what, Robin?
No, what, Parvis?
There's nothing I can do. Total eclipse of the heart.
You gotta commit, baby. I love you, my friend. I'll be there for you.
Turn around, bright eyes.
You know, once upon a time, there was light in my life.
Now there's
only love in the dark. I just said that.
Nothing I can say. Total eclipse of the heart.
Wait, no, that's not right. Oh, baby. Oh, baby.
Turn around.
You're so big.
Bright eyes.
Turn around.
Wait, what the f-
All right, there's like another 15 minutes going on.
You know, once...
Palo Alto, are you ready to rock?
Woo!
Once when I was very young, I found myself in Folsom Prison. I killed a man. Just to watch him sing. And my mother said to me, she said, son, if you don't stop drinking, you're going to drive this hot rod Lincoln. But seriously, folks, oh, we're back.
Every now and then I'm going
I'm lost. Where are we?
Holding on forever. We'll be making it right. Cause we'll never be wrong together. Make it to the end of the night.
Yeah, yeah, go, baby, go, baby.
Forever.
It's gonna start tonight.
I think we fucked up somewhere. I think forever hasn't started.
Boom, boom. Forever's gonna
come start tonight.
Forever's gonna start tonight.
Once upon a time I was falling in love. Now I'm only falling apart. There's nothing.
Wait.
There's nothing I can do.
You go, baby.
Total eclipse of the heart.
Paula, what say you?
I really like what you're wearing.
Randy?
Yo, Dog Pound!
Simon?
What's absolutely this? Dreadful.
Pack your bags.
I'm actually sitting in my own excrement. I'm so stunned by the...
Turn on bright eyes.
Turn around bright eyes.
Turn around.
Hey, is that the girl from Aruba?
What? What does that mean?
They found her in the ocean somewhere.
Oh,
that bad.
Oh, God.
Oh, jeez.
Aren't they in the ocean right there? Yeah, the sounds of the ocean?
Yeah.
Her body's going to wash up someday.
Wow.
We just took a macabre turn.
What was her name? What was
Natalie.
Her name? Natalie Merchant.
There's a signpost up ahead.
Maybe she should be in the ocean. I don't know.
Natalie Holloway.
Natalie Holloway.
After the release of her Tiger Lily album, Natalie Merchant was taken to the Bahamas and beaten to death.
Aruba.
Jamaica. Ooh, I want to take you to Aruba. Bahama. Come on, pretty mama. Key Largo. Montego. Baby, why don't we go?
Have you noticed that Beach Boys have never took the time to find Natalie Holloway?
They're looking for the real killers.
They're so scary. In Florida.
Yeah. Let's never talk of this again.
I remember when I was in broadcasting school that I tried to do an improv without any preparation because I figured that's what improv means. Yeah. And I learned.
And that man was Jim Carrey, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, little trivia. In the Beach Boys song Kokomo,
yes.
Who was playing the congos or drums on that video?
Oh, Papa John Creech from the Mamas and the Papas.
Oh, John Stamos.
Oh, you are correct, sir.
Thank you.
Yes.
Who wrote the song?
I don't know who wrote the song, but I believe he had a little stint with Beach Boys. He toured with them for a little while. I don't know if he played drums or just congas.
He just was trying to get away from his wife.
Or the Full House crew. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess he wasn't probably with her at that point.
No.
Rebecca.
No. Romaine Stamos.
Stamos, artichoke, bib lettuce.
I saw something that terrified
.com.
Me. The other day I was in Fry's getting more software. And that didn't
we'll
work.
Talk about that when you get back.
We don't have to. I don't even really want to. It's still too close. It's just, you know, I just got my discharge papers, and I just want to be with my family. But there was a film I saw there on sale. Antonio Banderas. And Rebecca Romaine Stamos. And the guy from...
Jim Carrey?
Jim Carrey. Thank you very much. And it was directed by the other guy, famous guy.
Robert Altman.
Robert Altman. And it was, I'd never heard of the film. And I thought, you've got Antonio Banderas, Jim Carrey, Rebecca Romaine Stamos in a Robert Altman film that never saw major release. I was
amazing.
Shocked.
Yeah. And it sold at Fry's? How weird.
Yeah. Beware of that film. Major stars, major director. You've never heard that it was in the theater? Don't ever buy it. Don't even look at it.
Are you bored, dude?
No. I'm just waiting for the next high.
high.
We're just riding this, baby. We're just riding this. But
the singing was great, though. You guys did great.
Well,
everything was good. I mean...
Yeah, we're not going to do this again, though, is what we're saying.
No, I believe that.
Ever.
This and the Cox guy.
Yeah, and we won't even speak of it.
Yeah, it would be like it never happened.
So it shall be written. So it shall be done.
All right. I do my own Foley. And by that I mean catheter. It goes in, it comes out. It goes in, it comes out. It goes in, it comes out.
And that's on a good day.
What about the blood? That's the best part. I think I needed this.
Oh, shit.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll wrap this bad baby up,
all right?
All right, you're listening to Schnauzer Logic, Robin Goldstein, promising not to sing, Parviz Vitaly. You are the singer of a rock and roll
but
band.
But you see me sing, and I
figured you'd just be able to, boom, you'd be down with this, and
well,
you'd be all
I was.
Over it.
I thought I did pretty good on the Bonnie Tyler. Turn around. Huh?
Well, he's got the stage presence. He's got a performance act going for us here. That's kind of.
I want to hear Cartman sing Bonnie Tyler. I don't even know how Cartman does.
And now neither do we.
Nice sound effect there.
La la. It's like Cookie Monster doing?
You know what, wait, really quickly. I just read. First of all, one of my favorite directors is Zemeckis, right? The guy who does all the Naked Guns airplane movies. I didn't realize he did Baseball. He directed that movie, and which made like $7 million in the movie theater. But I believe it was a cult hit.
No, that was. Jesus have mercy on me and just get some music going. More Schnauzer logic.
I had a point.
The hardest part about you and me is that I know someday I'm gonna break away from you. The sadness is the only thing that is left of you. What will I do when it's gone? Don't make sense at all. Cause missing you is what I had to do to keep me in control. If I just let go, I'll be free. So I'll
This has been your orientation. Is there anything you do not understand? Is there anything you understand only partially? If you have not been fully oriented, you must file a complaint with personnel. File a faulty complaint, and they dock you.
Welcome back. We are 49 minutes into the second hour of Schnauzer Lodge of the podcast for Wednesday. Imagine that. April the 19th, 2006. Robin Goldstein, Sean Meehan, Parviz Vitali, and you. I don't know how it's going to come out the other end, but we had a great time here today, boy.
Oh, yeah.
We're laughing
fun.
Like crazy today. This is nice. Nice to have you guys in the studio with me. I really appreciate that.
Nice to see Sean again.
It is good to see Sean. It's good to see you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Because nice the plumber be is the man. The plumber is the man.
Who sang that song?
I don't remember. I got it off of iTunes. Okay. Maybe off of iTunes. It's a woman folk singer. It's sort of working folk song. So, but all that information will be up on
it
the...
It seems like a joke, right? It was a parody, wasn't it?
Well, a parody of what?
A parody. Well, she's talking about poop and shit in the fan and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. It wouldn't be like a parody.
Not a parody of another thing, but I'm just saying like, it's obviously like a joke song. It wasn't a legitimate song, I'm sure.
I don't think we'll be hearing it anytime soon.
Actually, maybe next week. On Schnauzer Logic.
I interrupted you yet again.
No. I'm 420, dude.
I'm sucking all the intelligence out of Sean. He's like, whoa, I gotta get down to Parviz's level.
Like an IQ magnet. Like the reverse pole.
I'm certainly not retaining it. I'm just kind of pulling it out and dropping it on the floor.
All right, so the question of the week was Close Encounters of the Celebrity Kind.
Which I'm shocked that we got, we got one response.
I got one email from a listener.
But as soon as you tell people if they're going to get rid of their TV, they're all over you. but you know, as soon as you like, have you ever met a celebrity? Hey, do you want to take away your TV? Or, what? Don't do that. We're a society. We need our TV. It's bizarre.
Was that the sound you were looking
for? That's the sound I was looking for. I couldn't wait.
All right.
Ah, that's shit.
Oh, wait. Uh-oh. Okay.
Who's at the door?
So Terrence wrote to us. Did you want to? You wanted to read this?
No, or? No. I was just curious.
Oh, all right. So Terrence wrote to us, a listener. I'm afraid I have to disagree with Ken. He just said some nice stuff. Okay. Changing gears here to the celebrity subject. I actually got to meet, is it Margil Barrett? Margil?
Magil. I've always
heard Magil Barrett. Then wife of Gene Roddenberry, creator of?
Star Trek.
Absolutely. And also...
A bunch of shows. I mean, there was the one he did most recently was like, it wasn't Battlefield Earth, but it was something like that.
Another
space show.
Absolutely. And let's see. Changing gears, celebrity subject. I actually got to meet Majel.
Barrett.
What's the name there?
Majel.
Barrett. Then wife of Gene Roddenberry, SP, who played several roles over the years on Star Trek, including Counselor Troy's mother. I was a huge fan of Deanna Troy, and so the chance to meet... This is like the joke. So then the guy went to the barn. What happened was I was working on the Star Trek float for the Rose Parade, all right? And one night they were having a big shindig for all the important people of Star Trek and Nestle. Was there a connection between Star Trek and Nestle?
Big chocolate connection.
Was there? Okay, cool. One of the people I was working with apparently had a bit of a rapport with, quote, someone in the right places, I guess, and came up to me to ask if I wanted to meet Barrett. Naturally, I jumped at the chance, and we actually had a bit more of a conversation than just the okay, we've met, now leave me alone exchange I would have half expected. She was pretty darn interesting too, and this sounds better when I actually tell it. Actually, Terrence, it probably sounds better even if you read it. It's not the story, it's me. Full responsibility here. This sounds better than I actually tell it, but I don't have a mic, so here you go. Written version. Don't grow up if you don't have to. I like that from Terrence. So that's a pretty cool story, and a celebrity that actually like engaged in conversation, which is pretty cool.
Yes.
You have a story.
Really quick story. I've met more musicians in my life than I've met actors or TV. So
they're
so,
famous?
Yeah, they're famous. But this musician, I was at Disneyland 12 years ago. I went with a friend, and after the parade at the end of the day, Disneyland has a parade and a float. After everybody kind of disperses and moves along, there was what I believed was Claus, the lead singer to the band Scorpions.
Okay.
Not Santa Claus.
Or Klaus
is it Klaus or is it Klaus?
Like it's Klaus
von Bülow.
Something like that.
So the his wife singer. Wasn't there with him. It's
no,
funny.
No, no, he's no. going to the ball game to throw syringes at Barry Bonds. See how we kind of
right
all
circle.
Comes around. Yeah.
Okay, there he was with his girlfriend,
Klaus,
the lead singer to the Scorpions, right?
Okay.
So I tell my friend, I said, hey, that's Klaus, right? And he goes, no, it's not. I goes, I think it is. So he went to the bathroom. I followed him. Actually, I went to his girlfriend first. And I said, is that? And she said, cuts me off. She goes, yes, it is. I said, okay. And I told her, do you realize I know nothing? No, 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 I didn't say it. So, So I went to the bathroom. I waited outside. Out he comes. Right? It's creepy.
It's a creepy son. So
I said, Klaus, may I take
You're
a picture
beautiful.
Of you? So Klaus says, yeah, sure, mate. Let's take a picture. So my friend takes a picture of Klaus and
German?
I know he's Australian all of a sudden. So no, I know he's German. So I take a picture with Klaus. Okay, you got to understand this. I live in the Bay Area. LA was where we were. Okay? Take a picture with Klaus. That's great. 6 months later, in the Bay Area, my buddy wins backstage passes to meet the Scorpions. Okay? So we're in the Bay Area. The Scorpions are here. Sure enough, there was like maybe 15 people that from the radio contest that won to meet the Scorpions. And they all have little rinky-dink pieces of paper, notepad paper, to have the band sign stuff. Of course, I bring my picture to Klaus, and he looks at it, and he goes, I remember. Signs my picture. That's my big celebrity sighting.
Wow.
I saw Samuel L. Jackson at a coffee shop in San Francisco.
It was a motherfucking coffee shop. And a motherfucking donut.
All right. Let's hear your stories.
Well, you got a story? You must have lots of stories.
I have one story. I met Harrison Ford briefly at Paramount one day. And I was kind of shocked, and all I could think to say to him was, "What? You're not as tall as I thought you'd be."
You didn't say that.
I did. And he turned to me and said, "I'm taller than you." And he was correct, and that was the whole of our exchange. That was it.
What year was this?
Oh, 86.
Okay. He's taller now.
I've grown up now. I'm the decider.
He looks obese compared to his girlfriend.
She looks good. She looks good. Have you actually seen? Have you actually
Calista
seen her?
Calista Flockhart.
Yeah, she looks. She
What's
looks,
her name?
Calista.
Okay.
Calista Flockhart.
There's some extra syllables in there.
Did That's I really
I think so?
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Parviz.
And they're laughing at you.
That's my story. It's not nearly as involved.
No, that's right. But yet it got to the point. So you're saying he's a dick.
I liked him. I just thought, way to put me in my place. All right.
Wow. All
Yours, right. Robin?
Well, I told you last week the story about Art Garfunkel. Right? I met
oh,
Art
yes,
Garfunkel.
Yes, yes, yes.
You were here.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was a good one.
I'll cut that space out there. So the Art Garfunkel story. My other, I mean, as an adult, I've met a lot more famous people, obviously.
I know Sean.
Ben Stein, but when I was a kid, I think
I saw Ben Stein at the airport. That's right.
Boy, he stole your thunder.
Oh, I didn't steal anything. Go ahead. So Ben Stein.
Yeah, I ain't going to tell the story.
Oh, come on.
That's all right.
Come on. No, I want to hear.
It's not a very good story.
I want to hear.
It's not that interesting. I had a hot dog with Howard Cosell. Okay, that's it.
How cool is that?
It was very cool.
It is actually a pretty wonderful story, and we'll have to tease it out of him on another show.
1977?
Something like that. I was a kid. I was 14 years old, maybe, and went to Nathan's in Manhattan and Times Square before they cleaned it up, so it was still kind of grunky. My dad was an artist. He had a studio in Manhattan, and usually we had lunch when I went in with him, but this day, he was busy. He said, just go have lunch. He let me off by myself, so I wandered around. I go over to Nathan's, get a hot dog, get those French fries. There's nothing like the Nathan's French fries, and I walk over to the little round standing up tables, right? That's what Nathan's was full of. I walk over to the table, and I realize that I'm standing next to, there's just two of us at this little tiny small tramp, me, Howard Cosell. He was a tall guy. He was 6'4", 6'5". I mean, he's a very, very tall guy.
And that was without his toupee.
You bad hair. And I looked at him. He looked at me, and I gave him the New York nod, which is like, I know who you are, and we're having lunch together. And he gave me the nod back. I thought that was just so fucking cool. He nodded to me. I nodded to him. We ate a lunch in peace, and that was it.
Very cool.
And
very,
that
very
man cool. was, oh, I just told you who it was. Was Jim Carrey. We didn't talk about Tom's baby.
There will be time.
Katie lied. It's a Fleetwood, no, not Fleetwood Mac. Who am I thinking of?
This is Tom's first blood child, is that correct?
That sounds sinister.
That's making it sound so creepy.
he's the spawn of his sperm? Yes.
I believe so. I believe
because
this is
the ones with Nicole were all adopted.
The
right?
first Nicole. He knows about.
Nicole Richie? What? No.
She's gotten ugly.
It's like basketball. We're just, it's basketball. We're just... It's like a 30-second shot clock. I just need to... I'm just.
Where's the buzzer?
I'm just dribbling it out, baby. Just dribble it out. We'll give you one more possession before that.
He'll take the foul, and then he's not even going to bring it past half court.
What do you got going on this coming week?
Just more work. That's all I can think. Easter was last week. I had a great time. That's about all I can say.
Okay.
I was Easter Bunny. Last
you were?
Week. Yeah, for my kids, or my brother's kids, I should say.
You have a costume?
No. I make their baskets. I make their baskets, and I drop it off in front of their house in the morning.
You're a stocky, bald guy with a little black beard?
Yeah, no costume? No costume. They don't know it's me. I just drop off baskets. I make their little baskets for them, right? And they have all these little goodies. The next morning, I see them for Easter morning. I'm like, hey, how'd you guys like your baskets? Like, yeah, it's pretty good. Easter Bunny's all right this year. And then they look at me and go, what'd you get me, Uncle? Like, you little punk.
What do you got going on?
I'm going to try to make up to his nieces and nephews the terrible holiday experience that they had last week. That's what my week's about.
All right. Me, I got some stuff going on. Maybe go see a ball game next week, and we'll see you guys here next week.
Next week. Smoke them if you got them.
All right.
You know
there
it.
You go. Yeah. All right. There you go. So next week, if the creek don't wise, good war willing, and ain't no meltdown. Till then, show up, pay attention, tell the truth, and don't be attached to the outcome. I love you, Mom, and miss you, Dad. SchnauzerLogic.com. We're out of time. Have a great week. Take care. Have fun. Bye-bye.
This is over now, and you just got to deal with it.
I want you to know it's over.
It's over, Jenny. It's over.
It's over, Harvey. I'm sorry. I need to get on with my life.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.